There's actually another scripture I would like to read for you this morning as well. If you'd like to turn to Luke chapter 9, we're going to just be looking very briefly at verses 1 through 3 to sort of set up what we're going to be talking about. Luke 9, 1 through 3. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu said that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. For those of you that have been here throughout the entire series we've been going through, you'll maybe feel like Oak Grove has been going on quite the journey, exploring what it means to be a missional church, especially in the culture that we live in today. We have learned that God created His church for His mission, and that mission is to go into all the world and make disciples. He gave us the example of what it means to live missionally by sending His Son Jesus in the world, saying, it is not enough just to be where you're at, but you need to go and be present. We talked about this word incarnate, meaning in the flesh. He has placed the church, we realize, into neighborhoods, and all of us are there to accomplish His desire. We're all here for some purpose. And as residents of these neighborhoods, we are also missionaries. We're all missionaries. We have all been sent to these places. We cannot then rely on maybe what the old culture has told us, which is that if you build a church, people will come to it. Instead, we need to leave the church walls. We need to go. We need to go into the places we have been placed, and we need to tear down those fences that separate us from the world around us, from our neighbors. We need to also offer hospitality to those around us, living as Christ would have us live, not just this morning on Sundays, but all days, and not just in church, but in our homes and where we work, and as Dick talked about last week, in our third places, the places we play, the places we meet. Though we may be concluding this series, we're really just beginning our journey as this type of missional church, this new kind of a church willing to break down boundaries between ourselves and between the community in order to best exemplify Jesus' love for the world around us. Last week, Dick shared about the story of Jesus sending the 72 out to share the gospel message. And this week, we're looking at a very similar story, the sending of the 12 closest disciples, and Jesus was sending them out to the neighboring communities to share His gospel message, that the kingdom of God was coming and that it was now accessible to everybody. In this passage, you see a lot of similarities to the sending of the 72. The disciples were sent out in pairs. Again, I think telling us that it is important as we think about going forth and sharing the message that we do so together, that we need to rely on one another, that the church indeed is not a group of individuals, but it is a collective community. This says to me, too, that as we rely on one another, we seek security in the body of Christ. We also see that Jesus sends them out with pretty much nothing. He has his list of things they're not allowed to take that would offer some sense of security on the journey, further underscoring that if we really hope to change our neighborhoods and our communities, we can't do it on our own. We have to do it only in reliance of full faith on God, that He is the one sending us and that He is the one that will sustain us. So those are going to be the two main points of the message this morning. First, that we are journeying as ambassadors of God's mission to West Liberty and beyond together as a community. And secondly, that we need to be doing this in full faith, that it is God who sends us and it is God who will protect us. So what does it mean to take on God's mission to our neighborhoods, to our communities, as community ourselves? Briscoe and Ford, who wrote the book from which we've been taking this series, wrote that it takes a community to reach community. We can do nothing very little meaningful or long-lasting by ourselves without the support of the church community. Jesus twice sends out groups of disciples, and both times he adds the imperative that you will go out together, that you're going to go out in pairs. And I don't think this is a coincidence. I think it says that Jesus recognized not only that we truly need each other in faith, but also that the church is not composed of us as individuals. It is a community of people giving to and receiving from one another. If you look throughout the New Testament in the Apostle Paul's journeys, his missionary journeys, he always went with other people. In Exodus, as Larry was talking about earlier, when Moses travels to Egypt to save the Israelites from slavery to Pharaoh, he went with Aaron as his companion and also his sort of mouthpiece to the king. Whenever Paul describes the church in his letters, he uses the imagery of a unified collective. In 1 Corinthians 12, he writes about the church as a physical body of Christ composed of many parts working together for a singular purpose. And then in 1 Peter 2, Peter writes about the church being living stones built into this holy temple with the spiritual head being Jesus. And then you see in Acts 2, the first church, the early church, we have this amazing example of a community living together. They met together daily. They ate together and prayed together. They heard the word together. And they shared all of their goods, making sure that nobody had less than others. All of these images emote an understanding of the church as a unified group of believers working together for God's mission here on earth. Now, we know that we live in a very fast-paced society that seems to have very little time to give to building this kind of community. One pastor shared a story he read illustrating the way in which our culture has so greatly devalued what it means to share life together. He said a pastor was traveling with a Brazilian seminary student, and along the way, the pastor asked the student if he would like to stop for a cup of coffee. The student said, "Well, yeah, I would be honored." So they pulled into a Starbucks and went through the drive-thru. Once they were on their way out, the student was very quiet, and the pastor noticed this, and he pressed the silence, and he said, "Why are you so quiet?" And the Brazilian exchange or seminary student said, "I thought you were asking me to be your friend. I thought this was going to be about sitting together and sharing life." Living in fellowship is basically sharing life, all of life, together. And it means we have to give time to one another. Beyond our inability at times, because of our busyness, to make time for one another, there seem to be so many forces in the world around us that are trying to fracture our community. Our differences in politics and theology often make it difficult for us to discover how to live as a unified body, to continue to commune with one another, even though our mission remains largely the same. Christians on both sides of the Syrian refugee issue are raining down all kinds of hate and judgment on one another about the way that the other wants to handle the situation. And then in our own Mennonite denomination, we're seeing a lot of spite and beyond disagreement on those who are trying to understand how to properly deal and work with LGBTQ populations, which is causing large populations and bodies of churches to disfellowship from one another. In our congregation, we've been having Sunday school discussions regarding whether or not we should continue to support colleges who have made non-discrimination statements in their hiring policies regarding sexual orientation and gender. And even though our church largely agrees that same-sex practice is a sin, we have different approaches on how to live this out. My prayer for us is as we continue to ponder this question and to discuss how we may move forward as a church, that we will not allow these differences in our practice of theology to derail the mission that God has placed in front of us. We will not be able to be an effective missional church in this community if we cannot learn to live and work in community in spite of our differences. So we need to take a cue from Jesus sending of the disciples in pairs, recognizing that we do really need each other. In Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 that Larry read for us earlier, the author encourages the community of faith to support one another, and especially in light of the reality that we don't actually know when Jesus is going to return. We don't know when all of this is going to end. So we should always be pursuing growth as God's church and mission as our purpose. I'm going to read this for us again, just to keep it fresh in our minds. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So what does it mean for you as individuals? What does it mean for us as a body of believers to spur one another on toward good deeds, to be encouragers of one another, and to continue to meet together? Well, first, I would like to say I believe that this is happening really well in our missional discipleship group. For those of you who are participating in it, we have over 50 adults from our church meeting together on a weekly basis, reading scripture, praying for one another, and discussing how we saw God working in our lives. For me, this has been an awesome opportunity, something even in my busy schedule I really look forward to. And it's one way that we are growing together as disciples. Another way is through the Get It Going group. We've had sometimes up to 20 people getting together, dreaming of God's vision for our community and encouraging one another to use our gifts in making this vision reality. I suspect that this kind of encouragement and meeting together is happening elsewhere too, in your Sunday school classes, in your homes, in your small groups, at work, in the places you play. Consider then, in what ways have you been a force in building up community here at Oak Grove? Alternately, are there any ways that you have played a part in tearing down the community? As we take this journey of being a missional church together, let us encourage one another, let us challenge one another, and let us uplift one another. The second thing we can learn from Jesus' sending of the 12 and of the 72 is that as we move forward together in mission, we need to do it in complete faith that God is in control, that God has us in His hand. In verse 3 of Luke 9, Jesus gives them a basic packing list for the journey ahead. Take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. I don't know how it is when you all pack for a trip. I know that I tend to go it as a just-in-case scenarios, like just in case I need a pack of cards or an extra book or three or five extra pairs of socks. Just in case. I like to say I learned that from my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. And my wife had a little bit to do with that. So I tend to overpack. And yet Jesus basically asks them to bring nothing but the clothes on their backs. Can you imagine that? Beyond that, I'm certainly going to plan very carefully where I'm going. And then when I get there, I want to know where I'm staying, what time I have to show up, what kind of bed I'm going to sleep in, I want to know pretty much every detail that I can. But Jesus tells them in verse 4, whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. So when I hear that, whatever house you enter, I assume that they don't actually know where they're going to sleep, where they're going to stay. And they don't have any money, so they're not going to be able to stay at an inn. So basically, they're going to be relying on the generosity and hospitality of somebody in the town that they go into. Jesus was asking his disciples to have complete faith in him. Trust me, he says, when you go on this journey. And that can be a very difficult thing, not only for us as individuals, but especially as a church, when it's our tendency to form committees and create budgets and move very slowly in decision-making processes. In the book, The Fellowship of the Ring, which comes from the Lord of the Rings series, Frodo, the main character, recalls some advice that his uncle Bilbo gave him about going on adventures. He says, "It's a dangerous journey. It's a dangerous business, Frodo, going out your front door," he used to say. "You step into the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there is no knowing where you might be swept off to." The sentiment that he shares here, "It's a dangerous business going out your front door," is really the perfect imagery for what it means as a church to journey in faith, to be a missional church in the world today. Because living missionally means we're going to have to do things that we maybe have never done before, in ways that we have not imagined we could, in a time frame that we did not create. It means taking steps forward for the mission of God, even when the details of our mission aren't clearly spelled out for us. In the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, it tells the story of this archaeologist, Indiana Jones, who is he and his father are racing against the Nazis to find the Holy Grail, the cup that Jesus supposedly drank out of at the Last Supper, which would give whoever drank of it eternal life. And so he and his father arrive at the place where the Grail is located, and the Nazis arrive there, and they realize there's a series of tests that they have to go through in order to get to the room where the Grail is held, tests that will actually could kill you. And Indiana doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to retrieve the Grail for the Nazis, so they shoot his dad, and they say, "Now you have to go. The only way to save your dad is to get the Grail and to get him some of the water." So one of these tests Indiana comes to is the leap of faith, and there's this huge chasm between one side and the other side, and there's no perceptible way to get across. So let's see what happens. I can't tell you how many times I saw that movie growing up, and I always tried to imagine, what would I have done if I was in his shoes? What would it be like to take that next step, knowing that you could more or less fall to your death? In many ways, I think that Oak Grove has been taking this leap of faith as we consider about this community center in town, The Grove. Think about this. It's taken us 25 years to repaint the church. And in the span of 6 months, we're now renting a building in the downtown in order to open a community center of which we're not fully sure what we're going to be doing. We may not know the next steps ahead of us, but we do know for certain that God has been guiding us all along. Our only job then is to continue to take those next steps in faith and discover how God is going to use our community for the community. As Larry shared with us a little bit, this coming Friday is going to be the open house where we're going to be sharing our hopes and dreams as a church for the people of West Liberty. But we still need your help. We need Tuesday, we're going to be moving tables and chairs over there, and we actually need to decorate it for Christmas as well. So we need help moving things. And if you have Christmas lights and decorations you'd like to add, and maybe some of you have a better eye for decorating than I do, so please talk to me about that. Friday, we're looking for volunteers to help serve, to help greet, and we want you all to just come and experience it. We also need help face painting and making crafts. And then Saturday, we need you to get the word out about the Shop Local Saturday, where local vendors are going to be selling goods out of our building. Beyond that, we need you to continue to pray for this ministry, for this space, and to creatively think about how you might get involved, how you might use your gifts, your times, your talents, and your treasures in order to help the church live missionally in its neighborhood. Jesus sent the 12 out to be his missionaries to the world around them with very little but each other and their faith in him. We are being sent out into the world around us. And although we could find a million reasons to divide our community or to rely on our own strengths and abilities or to simply be skeptical of God's work, we, like the disciples, need to journey forward as a community full of faith that God is and will continue to work through us to spread his message of good news to our community. To close, we're going to watch a music video by the Christian band Sanctus Real called We Need Each Other. As a reminder, as Briscoe and Ford said, that it takes a community to reach community. And then following that, Alan is going to lead us in a song of response.
Keep on.